ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 16, Krishna chastises the servant Kaliya. Text 57. Toya shrishtam idam vishvam dataguna visarjanam nana swabhava viryajau yoni bija shayakriti. O Supreme Creator, it is you who generate this universe, composed of the variegated arrangement of the material modes, and in the process you manifest various kinds of personalities and species, varieties of sensory and physical strain, and varieties of mothers and fathers with variegated mentalities and forms. Purport. Commenting on this verse, Srila Madhvacharya has quoted the Narada Purana as follows. From Hiranyagarbha, Brahma, comes the second creation of this universe. But the universe is primarily created by Vishnu himself. Vishnu is thus the primary creator, and four-headed Brahma is merely the secondary creator. Umagyanat mirandasya genangyana salakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham bande shri gurum dinatarana. So this pastimes, chastisement of Kaliya, is very, very instructive in many ways. First, we can see that Krishna didn't kill Kaliya, but forgave him. And not only that, he also blessed him. Why is that? Because he realized his foolishness and became a surrendered soul. Actually, Kaliya's wives were great devotees, and they were always instructing Kaliya to become devotee. But he would not hear them much, because he was very proud and he felt himself very powerful. So he would not hear them very much. But then when he was chastised so severely by Krishna's lotus feet and start, you know, practically speaking, trying to keep his life and his body, and start to vomit all kinds of poisons and blood, then he start to understand, I am nobody in front of Lord Krishna. So maybe I should follow my wife's good advice and become a surrendered soul too. So then when he changed that mentality, Krishna also changed his attitude toward him. And then, although Kaliya, because of his wretched position, he could not offer prayers of his own, but he tried to remember the prayers of his wives, and he, some or other, put them together and start to offer some prayers to satisfy Lord Krishna. So we can remember how this happened, you know, and Srila Shukadeva Goswami, when he was asked by Maharaj Parikshit about how and why this incident took place, then he explained to him that first Kaliya was living in the island called Ramanaka. Correct? So, and Garuda used to go there to take some snake to eat it. Garuda is the carrier of Lord Vishnu. He's a pure Vaishnava, but he's not vegetarian. Because his natural food is fish and snakes. That's natural for him. So the snakes made an arrangement with Kaliya that they will make some offering for him, so he will not eat them up. So that was the arrangement. But this Kaliya was so proud that he started to take the share of Garuda for himself, and then there was a fight amongst themselves. And he was severely chastised by Garuda. So he left that island and went to one lake in the Yamuna River. And why he went there? Because he knew that Garuda will not dare to go there. Because of another incident, before Saubari Rishi was living in that lake, in the Yamuna, doing severe austerity and meditation underneath the water. So he was a very great yogi. And one day, usually Garuda was going there to catch some fish to eat it. And one day he catched the king of the fishes, which disturbed the other fishes very much. So to show some so-called compassion for the fishes, Saubari Rishi, he ordered Garuda, "You don't come here anymore, and if you do, you will die." So just he made two offenses. He dared to give an order to personal associate of the Lord, and also he was cursing him that if you come, you will die. So out of respect to the Rishi, Garuda didn't go anymore again to that place. And Kaliya knew about this, so he knew Garuda will not go there. So he took shelter in that lake. Just see, the so-called compassion of Saubari Muni for the fishes, because was not in relation to the service of the Lord, or pleasing the Lord, ultimately was against the creatures who were living there. Not only who were living in the water, but also even the birds were flying above that lake will die just because of the fumes coming from that lake. And even the trees dried up. So just see how material compassion can even go against the people who are supposedly to help them. And what happened to Saubari Rishi because of his offense to a great devotee, this Vaishnava Parad? He was doing his tapasya underneath the water, and he saw two fishes mating, and his mind became disturbed. And he went to King Mandata, who was living in Mathura, and asked him to marry one of his daughters. He had 50 daughters. And King Mandata, knowing the mentality of young girls, he said, "Well, whoever of them wants to select you, that's all right for me." Because if he will say no, Rishi become angry, may curse him. But at the same time, he didn't know if his daughter will want to marry him because he was old and ugly. So Saubari Rishi understood, and by mystic power, he regenerated his body and became young and beautiful. So all of them wanted to marry him. And they were fighting each other, but he accepted all of them. And by his mystic powers, he made a very huge, wonderful palace and have so many facilities and commodities for them. So much so that the Emperor Mandata, he felt belittled in his presence, in his power. But after many years, Saubari Rishi realized this mistake. And then he started to contemplate renunciation again. He understood, how foolish am I that I gave up my penances and meditation on the Supreme Lord and became entangled in family life. Now I shall go back to my spiritual life fully. So he took Rivana Prastavo. And also his wives followed him, and also they achieved the same destination. So by the mercy of the Yamuna River, because he was meditating underneath her water for so long, he could regain again his spiritual practices and become perfect and back home, back to Godhead. Also his wives went back home, back to God, by following his footsteps. Anyway, so going back to Kaliya, this Kaliya serpent has actually 100,000 of hooves, was very huge and very powerful. But how wonderful is that Krishna took this opportunity to fight Kaliya to just make a drama of his dancing abilities. So much so that all the demigods in the universe just went there to see this wonderful dancing. But with every step, Krishna will hit severely Kaliya's head. So these wonderful pastimes also show us that Krishna is wonderful in every way. He can do anything and everything. Even it is said that without seen by others, he took the gopis there on the head of Kaliya and started to dance with them, having a rasa dance on Kaliya's heads. So serpents by nature are very envious, and they sometimes beat people unnecessarily, you know, without being attacked. So by nature they are very weak. But when they come in touch with the devotional service of the Lord, by good fortune, they also can change their nature, as human beings also do. So once Narad Muni, he preached to a serpent, to a snake, and this serpent became a devotee. And because of that, she started, become very humble and nice to everyone. So she would not bite anyone. And the children took advantage of that and started to beat the snake very severely with twigs and stones. But being a Vaishnava, the snake tolerated everything without protesting. Vancha kalpataro vyascha kripa sindhu vyayavacha patitanam pavani vivashnevyo namunama. So sometime after, Narad Muni came and he saw his disciple, you know, all hurt. And he asked the snake, "What's going on? Why you are like this?" And the snake explained, "Well, you know, children bite me, so I have to tolerate. I'm not biting anyone anymore, you know." And Narad Muni said, "No, no, you can't do that. From now on, when they come to harm you, you just open your mouth and hissing, show your tongue very fearfully. But of course, you don't bite anyone. You just show this. So they will not attack you anymore." So he followed Narada's instruction and he had no more problems. So sometimes even devotee may show some anger or something, but in their heart they can't maintain any bad feeling toward anyone. Should not, because that's Vaishnava. Although sometimes we become angry for something, can't keep in our heart any bad feeling or any enmity or hatred to anyone. Should not. Because after all, you know, everybody is reaping their own karma, you know. Even Srila Prabhupada once gave us a good lesson in that regard, that he was in a big room having a lecture. You know, he was invited to some place, and one man stood up and started to criticize Prabhupada very, very strongly, and the devotees were ready to take him off the place. But Prabhupada said, "Keep, you know, quiet, don't do anything." And the man, after a while, sat down, and you know. But then the devotee asked Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, why you didn't allow us to take this man out? He was offending you." "Prabhupada, it's okay, you know. Maybe in previous life I did something bad to him and now he's taking back." You know, he's counteracting. "So I shall tolerate." And it is actually stated in the Mahabharata that if one tolerates, chastisement from somebody, even if it is improper or not righteous, still the person tolerates without... without counteracting this attack, all the pious deeds of that person who attacked him goes to the person who is being attacked. Just see, so there is some practical result of being tolerant. It's not just so in this way we can, you know, after all, everybody has to get, we get what we deserve after all. So if we can learn how to tolerate, you know, we get so many benefits in so many ways. Of course, if other Vaishnava has been attacked, we can't remain quiet. We should do something. Or Lord Krishna or his devotees, then we shall do something. But when it is in relation to us, we should try to do something. Like once, a big yagya was performed in the heavenly planets, and all the demigods came there for attending this great yagya. And the yagya was so nice that even Lord Vishnu appeared on Garuda from the middle of the yagya and blessed everyone with his darshan. So Yamaraj also was there, and a small bird was around, and Yamaraj looked at the bird very intensely, and the bird became frightened, and he went to Garuda, his elder brother, say, "Garuda, please help me." Yamaraj looked at me in a very strong way. "I am fearful, I don't want to die. Please take me to the top of Mount Sumeru right now." Because a small bird can't fly so high. But he asked the help of Garuda. "So, Garuda, let me help my younger brother." So he put him in his bag and took him to the top of Mount Sumeru. Then he approached Yamaraj and asked him, "My dear Yamaraj, why do you look so strongly at my younger brother? No, wasn't my intention to disturb him at all. I was just amazed to see him here, because after a while, like maybe in 2-3 hours, I will have a meeting with him at the top of Mount Sumeru. And I was amazed. I was asking myself, how this little bird will got there?" So just see, you know, sometimes things happen, we don't know how they happen and why they happen. So we have to see, you know, the transcendence beyond all external, you know, things in front of us. So we can, you know, learn from so many ways, from different angles of vision. So this pastime definitely is very wonderful and full of transcendental lessons and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So if anybody has a, please a comment or a question. Yes? You have a mic for Mataji to ask a question.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you were mentioning that after some time Sobari Muni realized his mistake and he went back to performing austerities and penances. And his wives went along with him, and ultimately they went back to Godhead. So I was wondering, because it seems to me that his main mistake was not to enter the Grihastha ashram, but to have offended Garuda. So did he actually beg forgiveness from Garuda, or how did he go back to Godhead?
Srila Prabhupada explains in the 9th canto that was due to the mercy of Yamuna River, that he could go back to his austerities and penances. So he took the Vanaprastha stage of life. That's natural after somebody being Grihastha for some time, after a certain age, to take this Vanaprastha stage of life. So, but that was possible for him because somehow or other Yamuna gave his mercy, her mercy to him, so he could regain his austerities again. Of course he offended Garuda, and definitely he he paid the price for sure. So after he paid the price for so many years, you know, when somebody becomes a criminal and goes to jail after being for some years there, then he is released, isn't? So in the same way, he paid reaction for his apparat, for his offense to Garuda, and after that is finished, by the mercy of Yamuna, because he was living underneath her water for so long, and some or other she was merciful, so he could regain back his activities.
Back to Godhead as well. It'll finish sometime, we'll all go back home, back to Godhead.
Who went to back home, back to Godhead?
Every living entity in the universe.
No, that is not possible.
It's not possible.
No, Prabhupada said, not everyone is going back to Godhead. The material world is made in such a way that always will be living entities wishing to remain here. That's for sure. Otherwise, why Lord Narayan has a chakra and a club? Because there always will be demons to fight with. The material world is also eternal. But it is created, maintained and destroyed once and again and again. But there always will be material world. What is the name of that great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Vasudev Datta? He asked for the benediction to remain in this material world forever, suffering the karma of every living entity in this universe, so that all of them will go back home, back to God. He prayed for that benediction. And Lord Chaitanya told him, just by your desire, Krishna will free everyone. But is not a great loss for Krishna. A banyan tree has many fruits, and if one tree falls, what is the loss for the tree? The same way, if Krishna just free one universe, becomes empty, what is the loss for him? But at the same time, Lord Chaitanya told him, this universe will be filled again with others living entities. So this will be now. There are innumerable living entities. So means unlimited number. So if you take 100 million, it still is an unlimited number. So, but any living entity who wants to become free from this material world, back home, back to Godhead, Krishna is more than pleased to help every living entity to achieve that perfection, because he's more anxious to have us back to him than ourselves. When we make one step toward Krishna, Krishna make 10 steps toward us. So it's more than, but at the same time he will not force us to accept that. He wants out of our own free will to become devotees and love and serve him. So the material world is full of varieties of living entities and personalities and mentalities. So there always be some antagonistic mentalities toward the Supreme Lord. Always will be. That's the variety. Otherwise it will be very boring, you know. Everybody is the same. It's not possible. So the absolute Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that for the material world to be complete, I mean the absolute truth to be complete, it has to be everything there. You know, the eternal spiritual world, the unlimited spiritual world, perfect, and the imperfect material world should also be there. Otherwise it's not complete, the absolute truth. Yes?
As we know that Garuda was eating these fish and snakes, and that is the natural food for Garuda. Mm-hmm. But Garuda is also a Vaishnava and devotee, means devotee of the Lord. Mm. So he has a constitutional food which is offered to the Lord, and then he should take it. So constitutional food and natural food. So why he is attached to the natural food instead of the food which is offered to the Lord? And we know that we cannot offer the snakes and patram pushpam phalam to him.
Of course not. We have to understand, when somebody is a personal associate of the Lord, he is above all rules and regulations. He doesn't have to follow the four rules and regulations if he's a personal associate of the Lord. First of all. Besides that, he has a body of an eagle. So, an eagle, that's his food. Actually, the animals eaten by Garuda, they get a spiritual benefit just by offering their body for his service. We shall understand that also. When the Pandavas were hunting, the animal they killed, that animal get liberation because pure devotee was in touch with them. So we have to see things beyond our, you know, rules and regulation. when it comes in relation to great devotees like Garuda, you know. Here in Braj, there is a temple called Garu Govind. Some of you maybe have visited that temple. It's a very nice temple. It is Garuda and Lord Krishna mounting Garuda, but with 12 arms. So once Garuda heard that Krishna was here in Braj, so he came to have darshan and offer prayer to the Lord, you know. And he asked Krishna, "Are you the same Narayan as I know? The same Lord Vishnu?" He said, "Yes. You want me to show you my ten form, my ten hand forms, armed forms?" And Garuda said, "No, actually I would like to see your 12 armed form, which ones you show to the 12 months of the year." So Krishna agreed and he showed the 12 armed form to Garuda. And then Krishna told him, "Please Garuda, give me a ride on the Yamuna River on your back." And Garuda said, "Sorry, I can't do that because, you know, I had some problem with Saubari Rishi, so I can't go there." So Garuda paid his obeisance and left. But then Shridam, Krishna's brother, he offered Krishna, "I can become Garuda and you mount my shoulder and I give you a ride." So he became Garuda. Actually, it is said by Sanatana Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita that the inhabitants of Goloka Vrindavan, they have their expansions in Vaikuntha and also on the heavenly planets. So actually Garuda is an expansion of Shridam, Krishna's friend. So naturally he became Garuda and gave a ride to Krishna around. So, yes.
Yes. Another one question is, yes, that if the wives of Kaliya were the devotees of the Lord, then why they were married to a non-devotee Kaliya?
Very good question. Sometimes we see our devotees in that situation too, isn't it? So by destiny, you know, sometimes these things happen. Prabhupada's sister, she was in that situation. So destiny is very strong, Prabhupada said. But if somebody is sincere devotee, he will undergo, you know, any trouble to serve the Lord. So after some time, that man, materialistic man, who was the wife of Prabhupada's sister, he also changed after seeing her devotion for so long and tolerating all his attack, and he also had some change, I hear. So Garuda's wives were also nice, great devotees, and they were also trying to convince him. And their preaching finally got effect in due time. So sometimes somebody has this bad fortune to be married to a materialistic person. Some or other, you know, pray to Krishna and try to preach to that person. So. Yes?
What
Prabhupada mentioned some purport. If husband is not Krishna conscious, wife can reject that husband.
Yes, she doesn't have to serve a fallen husband. That's true. That's said in Prabhupada's books. But at the same time, it is said that if she do that, she should not remarry. So if she can't do that, she have to tolerate. It is sometimes difficult. It's a, you know, it's a controversial issue, you know. We don't want to go too much into into that controversy, but that's generally speaking, you know. And of course, now we are in Kali Yuga, so many things happen, you know, even amongst the devotees. So we have, you know, adjust, you know, for the benefit of so many people's spiritual life. But from the moral point of view, what the Shastra said is this.
But this is the problem coming when coming to focus on the practical life. Because if the husband, sometimes the wife side also you have to think, they are Krishna consciousness, but they have to surrender because if they reject, how they will maintain, sometimes problem coming like that on practical focus. So they are one side like dominate, like the previous, you know, if you see like our father or uncle, my mother, whole life have to dominate with father, even not Krishna consciousness. And now the present days is normally they go in way and they are taking the another husband, so become also like the same problem. It's like, you know, coming like the one side husband is guru, another is like that. Same thing problem for the disciple also changing guru. This
anyway,
is problem thing coming.
The important thing is how somehow or other to remain Krishna conscious. Single, married, unmarried, whatever situation it is, according to one's karma, one is in. The important thing is, some or other, be Krishna conscious. You know, we are not passing judgment on people. We know now is in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult for everyone. But some or other, whatever condition we are in, we should keep Krishna conscious by all means. That's the most important thing. I hope this satisfies your request. Yeah, I mean. Yes, young, yes. There is also a place here in Braj where there is a deity of Sridham on the top of a tree. I hear, somebody told me. And that because when Krishna left to Mathura, Sridham told him, please come back, otherwise I will not be able to keep my life together. And Krishna told him, don't worry, in one day or two I will come back. So Sridham told Krishna, I will climb this huge tree and wait on the top your return. And if you don't return, I will jump from the tree. So Krishna said, no, please be peaceful. Surely I will come back. Be patient. So Sridham was waiting and waiting and waiting. Krishna then came back, at least shortly. But it is said that when Lord Chaitanya came first time to Vrindavan, he went to that tree and with his golden arms open wide, he told Sridham, Sridham, I came back. So you may say he made him wait for a while, a few thousand years. But in the spiritual world, time is not like in the material world. Yes. Yes. Well, that is, I accept that as a Krishna conscious speculation. I mean, it's a supposition. It's a nice supposition. I like it. Because that it may be that they knew that Kaliya was going to surrender to Krishna. That's why they married him. That's an interesting philosophical speculation. Anyway, we can make philosophical speculation, but not mental speculation. There's a difference between mental speculation and philosophical speculation. But this is nice. I like that. It enhances our Krishna consciousness, some or other. It is all right. It's acceptable. Yoga Maya? Of course. Yeah, Purnamasi, Yoga Maya. Yes. She may know many things. Actually, many other things are there also. For example, when Krishna was pleased with Kaliya and his wives, and they were worshipping him with garlands and jewels, they were offering jewels from the Yamuna River. And by Krishna's Yoga Maya's arrangement, his Kaustubha jewel was kept there in the Yamuna. And they gave it to Krishna as a present, thinking that it's one of the many jewels there. But actually, it's Krishna's eternal jewel, but Krishna made that arrangement, so it can be offered to him. The same way that Agni gave to Krishna the Sudarshan Chakra as a gift. So these are lila, you know. Yoga Mayas, some or other, do these things for to enhance Krishna's lila in a variety and beautiful and wonderful ways. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.